Eagles rear three. You've just arrived at Gosforth to join the army, Mr. Eagles. Did they issue with the uniform straight away?
Oh, yes, yes. Before we go on, I think it might be an idea to just say to you that I was rather proud of myself leaving my mother with a little bit of money. Not that ever, I always intended to come back mine, to be truthful. That when I handed my mother a building society book with about £150, and my mother nearly died on the spot, because that was a considerable, I'm saying about 150 because I can't remember, but certainly over, well over 100, and mother was quite amazed that if I would acquired this money. I think she thought I'd robbed a bank or something. And as a youngster, I'd also used to buy day-old chickens, breed them for six weeks, and then sell them and advertise them in the paper, and away they used to go. And before that, as I say, I think I mentioned the last time, there was I handed over the Build Society book with about £150 in, as far as I remember. And I think my mother thought I'd robbed a bank, because I used to do up bicycles, because bicycles were scarce during the war. I used to do them up, rub them down to the metal, and then re-enamel them. And having previously worked in a bicycle shop, as I told you before, I could get all the things that, well, I could get them, that was the important thing. And then I used to advertise them every month in the local paper, and this is where I told my mother I'd got me £150 from, which of course she believed, and which is true anyway. And that made my mother very happy, knowing that. Anyway, that was then, as you said before, then went into the army, or called up for the army. And
you got your uniform?
I got my uniform, issued.
What did they issue you with?
Well, as far as I know, everything really. That was the jacket, the trousers. I think we got three or four shirts, about three pairs of underpants, probably two or three pairs of socks, obviously a pair of boots, and I think you got a razor, toothbrush, and a holdall, as they called it, and of course you got your mess tins, shoe polish, or at least shoe brushes, I think, and I think that's about all we've got.
Did they measure you for it, or was it just handed over by looking at you?
I just looked at you and handed it over. They're pretty accurate, but they weren't too bad, really.
I think a comfortable material to wear?
No, like hell, no. I can't say that. I felt it was more like being a delicate lad. You know, I've had the best off my mother. I felt it was like sacking. You know, I must admit, I found that a little bit tough, that. But you got used to it, really.
So they handed you your uniform. Can we talk a little while, for what memories you have, about the accommodation at Gosforth? What kind of buildings were you billeted in?
Well, we were billeted in Nissen huts. And, as I say, I think there were about 30 to a hut. And in the middle, I always remember it, and that was a cold part of the year. I remember it was extremely cold for the time of the year, and that was... They used to stock the coke stove up until it actually glowed. And of course, I'm afraid I've always been a bit hot-blooded, and I'm afraid it used to nearly kill me, you know, the heat. And if anybody ever came looking for me, they used to say, oh, that's the guy down there with his feet sticking out the bottom of the bed. It's just a standing joke. But I used to find the rooms were very hot for me, and I used to try and get near the door, which wasn't always a good idea. Many times you got somebody probably going to the back door during the night, you got weed on. Not once, but a few times, you know. Not very good idea.
Where were the toilets in relation to the hut itself?
Well, possibly about 100 yards away, really.
Quite a bit of ground to go, but
really. But I think most of them went outside of the just outside the Brighton. Had a wee outside. I don't think the bladders were like that. I don't think they were.
And the washing facilities, were they also some distance away from the hut?
Yes, again, would be probably 50 yards, I should think, and as far as I remember. And yes, cold water, there was no hot water. And the lads who sort of lay in at the last, I think the lads who got up early would bring a bucket of water back, cold water, might add. And then that were late getting up, if they got away with it, would be all washing out of the same bucket and shaving as well out of the same bucket. You know, no, I'm afraid I didn't, that being a healthy sort of person, I didn't like washing after other people, you know, so I was pretty good lad to get up and do what I had to do.
We are lying on beds?
Yes, we lay on beds. Yes, we lay on beds with the biscuits on them, you know, the three, I think like three biscuits, if I remember rightly, and one sort of pillar thing, that was it. And then at the side of the bed there would be a although I don't know whether they did that, even have cupboards. No, I don't think we had cupboards at first, no. No, there's no cupboards.
So how did you keep the building clean? Was it an organised rota?
Oh, yes, yes. I think if whoever was got the sort of been a bad lad during the day, I think the punch it was that they usually got the job to do. And the corporals and that used to come through and inspect, and the sergeant would come through. Of course, I think it was just routine, that one, all right. I can't remember the exact thing about it, but mainly I think the bad lads who'd misbehaved or done something stupid during the day would probably get the job next day of doing the...
Quite drafty, though, in this and were they? What time of the year are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about March.
Quite cold, as you said.
Yes, the weather was quite, not particularly, it was bad, yes, it was, if I remember right, it was quite cold, but as I say, it didn't really bother me much that way. Yes, it was March, yeah.
And you were well supplied with Coke, or
what
was it
you
used in the...
Coke, oh yes, that was no problem, but these have it glowing red off for me, and I'm afraid that was why I was right near the door, at least as near as I could, because obviously some people would fight you for it, really.
Give off fumes
No, of course it's, I have I think sometimes it was very arid, but I mean I can't say I don't remember it any discomfort really.
Had the this heating system to be kept clean?
Oh yes, I mean that'd be cleaned out, I mean every day. And whoever was left, I think they used to leave somebody in the hut, if I remember right, and they used to clean that up and then resume duties perhaps an hour later and catch up with whatever we were doing, you know, whatever training that we were on, you know.
Were there any other furniture in the room itself?
No, nothing.
Table or anything of that nature?
Oh, sorry, yes, there would be a table, yes, there would be a table, yeah. Where people usually wrote the letters and what have you, you know.
And had that to be scrubbed daily?
Oh, yes, everything was spotless, really. And if a window got broken, that got deducted out of your pay. So if there was any hilarity going on, you paid for it.
You had damages deducted?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Inspections, were they daily?
Yes, the usual officer come round. Well, no, I think he'd come back once a week, but I think the... normally it'd be the sergeant major. I don't think the RSM did that, but either a sergeant or a sergeant major would come round daily, probably in turn, you know. And they're a bit rough, to be fair, you know. I mean, no pampering. I mean, everybody was. I mean, I don't think they put you much on a charge or a punishment at first. I mean, I think they were sort of going fairly gently with us that way, you know. But they certainly pulled you up and not under the bed right, made up in proper hospital style, you know.
Kid inspections, how often did they occur?
Once a week, as far as I remember.
And was there a special way of laying out?
Oh, yes. It was always, I'd be laid out to, and squared off. It was quite strict on that, really.
And how were the rest of your blankets and your pillows were squared up? How was the rest of the...
Well, the same things like the hospital bed, where they used to sort of turn you over in a V and then wrap it underneath, and they all looked quite smart. And after a while, I think you got quite efficient at it once you squared it off. No problem.
And on the bed would be... clothing?
No, shirts, no. You'd get your main pack, your shoulder pack. That would carry most of the stuff in there. And I think they then put socks out, you know, where to prove they've been washed, I suppose, really. And you probably two or three pairs of underpants, whatever you had. That was always out there, so it had to be clean, so otherwise they'd say, hey, what's that, you know, and get that washed. Or I can't remember it happening, like, but.
Spare boots?
Yeah, it must have been, really. I can't remember, but I think you'd be right, though. There would be two pair of boots, because one pair was being repaired. The other would be out, and I think a lot of people spent a lot of time cleaning them, which was a bit fruitless, I always thought, you know, but never mind, it has to be done.
If you lost equipment or lost a piece of clothing,
well, if you lost that was put in your army paybook, and you had to pay that back at probably 6 months a week or whatever. And I remember one time, we had some thieving going on. And I must admit, I was a very light sleeper, and they did all sorts of things to keep the stuff, you know, like, I mean, anything you had precious to you, you sort of made you either slept on it or... I did have one occasion where somebody come round and got his hand under the pillar or something, but I always was a light sleeper, so I had no problem. I just lashed out and... That was it. And he said getting in the wrong bed, but he didn't make any odds anyway. He didn't come back again. But he was a well-known character, so.
What were your companions like?
Well, I think we all. It's funny. We used to sort of so you planned up with one, sometimes three of you. But I do remember one in particular. The first. One we went to was a fella called. Never mind, his name's gone, but never mind. I mean, but he's a very inoffensive lad, very quiet. And we're very quiet. This lad was, and he, I don't know, he couldn't hold up for himself at all, really. And I felt rather sorry for him. So I suspect him once or twice having a little cry in his bed, you know, but I mean, I was really a bit of a soft touch like that. I always felt, you know. Always felt sorry for people like that. I mean, I certainly couldn't laugh at it where someone make a big joke out. Well, I mean, you know the sort of thing. But I took that very seriously. That I mean, I think that's probably why I liked him so much. Then again, what am I talking? I was a mother's boy, but he certainly took it the wrong way. Really, he had a rough time. He did.
How did you?
Hodge. His name was. I'm sure it was Hodge.
How did you settle into this new life?
Oh, it was an adventure, really. You know. I must admit, yes, I found a bit of an adventure to leave home and get in the army and get. Mind you, I must admit, I want to get the war over with, even when I joined in, get it over with, go home, and because I had ambitions of what I wanted to do, you know, and I knew what I wanted to do, and therefore I want to get the war done, get it over with, and be rich.
Is there any bullying in the hut?
Yes, yes, yes.
Recall what form that took?
Yes. Funny enough, he picked on this. This lad was the guy who caused the trouble was a fella called Ross, and he was nasty. He was a nasty guy, and he was tall. I think he had 5'10", 5'11", something like that. But he had a nasty nature about him. He picked on this young, well, same age as myself, I suppose, really. And, he really booted him around, and I walked in from going down the toilet, funny enough, and I saw this going on, and immediately I tried to pacify, you know, but he then said outside to me as well. Well, I said, no, we won't go outside, we'll go down the gymnasium, you know, where I knew I was all right. And I went down there, and, well... He never bothered me after that, and that was it. And I mean, after that, they just, you know how stories grow. You've only got to hammer one. And I certainly hammered him because I didn't like him for one thing, which is unusual for me to not like that straight away. But I think it hurt me to think he picked on this young lad who was, well, my mate. And as I say, I gave him one hammering and he kept out of my way after that. He never.
And this was in the ring with the gloves on?
Yeah, yeah.
All legal and.
All legal and nice, yeah. And it's funny, you know, how the stories, you know, the stories get better as they're retold by somebody else, you know, keep clear of him. And it's funny, yeah, it's funny. I found that also the army people just said, oh, watch him. He's quiet, but the parson's son. But it's funny, that's what I got from the day going in to the day I came out, the parson's son. And I must admit, I enjoyed that. Being a bit of a heathen. No, I wasn't a heathen. No, no, no. No, I mean. I must admit, I mean, even now, I still say my prayers every day. I think really why do I play safe, really. But having said that, my mother brought me up as a God-fearing, you know. Anyway, if your mother tells you, that's right, in my book.
Can we try and go through a typical day in this basic training? What time would Reveille be?
No, I think it's about 6:30.
Was that by bugle or?
By bugle, yeah. Yes, but I'd say by 6:30.
And was everyone out of bed at 6:30?
Not always, because there's always somebody who can't get up, you know. And of course, the sergeant or corporal come through, whoosh, I'm going to tip the beds up, you know. And that was it. It was a good laugh.
And the first thing you do, presumably, would be get dressed.
Get dressed and down to the wash house and all this and the other. And then there's always the ones who jump back in bed again, of course. And I just find that quite amusing, actually.
Washed, shaved,
and then ready for go down for breakfast. March off to breakfast. You marched off for breakfast by, and I think you had to be in there by about 7:45 or something. I can't remember. Something like that, anyway. Oh, it had to be before then. Probably about 7:15 or something like that, up to 7:30.
And can you describe the dining room area?
Yeah, it was just fairly big. And you just got in your queue with your mess tin and they dumped it in and whatever you've got.
You lined up and went along the...
And then you sat down. And then you sat down at the tables, usually by your best mate. You saw so you paired off, you know, and or three of you. No more than three normally.
What did you get for breakfast?
You know, damn if I remember. Porridge. It was a bit rough, but you eat it because you were hungry. Porridge. Maybe a scrap of bacon. I don't really remember what we really had. I know it wasn't very good. I mean, whatever we got.
An English breakfast, was it?
No, I don't think there was an English breakfast. No, it was not an English breakfast. I know this, we were always permanently hungry. But then again, it was an exercise as well.
When you finish your meal, you'd have to
wash it. Well, just simply dunk it in some hot water thing that was like a big bucket or something, and you just then wiped it out with you didn't have tissues in them days, you just knocked it until it cleaned up, rubbed it out with your hands, and then wafted it around. Probably did dry on with something, but I can't remember that we did, because I don't think we had anything. I mean, you only had your handkerchief, there's no tissues. And then back to the billets.
Before we go back to the billets, did they put anything in your tea?
Bromides, you mean? No, well, they say they did, but I mean, if he did, it didn't affect me any. I mean, so I can't argue about that. I don't think I can argue about that.
But back to your billets, and what happened then?
Then you would be probably on parade about 8:30, and generally speaking, your boots are cleaned, and one thing or another, and then just the sergeant walked out, inspected, and then. With the corporal following behind him, and they'd be, pull that in, do this, you haven't cleaned that well, move up, get your hat on right, laddie, you know, and wait the round down. And then after that would then be the platoon officer, he'd come round, and or the company officer, he'd come round and do the same again. And nod approval, and then stand easy, stand attention, stand easy, sharpen yourselves up, lads. And then.
And these were your first early drills?
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the basic, marching and. Marching generally on the parade ground and, halt and then at the double and you found, I found a lot of the lads had great trouble carrying the rifle at first, during the Durhams, I didn't find that particular.
Can we just establish this was a general training?
General training that was, yes.
So you weren't really attached to anyone?
No, that was like the Northumberland Fusiliers as we were with.
In the depot.
General service, I think they called it, didn't they? That's right.
So really, the very first things you were learning were
basic drills and discipline and things like that, And
do you recall the names of your sergeant and corporal of your platoon?
Not really.
Do you recall them anyway? Can you conceal? Can you?
Oh, I can recall them.
And what were they like?
Bossy. Excited to frighten you. I must admit, I used to look at it quite funny, actually. I found the more they tried to bully, I used to find it amusing.
The word the bullying type that you had with
it? I think they were just, looking back in hindsight, I think really, they were just, I think what you call today, very self-assured, probably a bit big-headed, a bit of a chip on the shoulder. Yeah, but I think they needed that, to be honest with you. That didn't bother me much, really. I mean, I think I could eat you, lad. And that used to amuse me. Because the favourite thing was to say, well, okay, if you're that clever, what did you say to me? I always remember the sergeant saying, take that smile off your face. And I said, I always remember saying, why? Because I'm happy. He says, well, we're sure not just that. I always remember that. And he did, he tried his best to wipe it off his face, because the more he tried to wipe it off, I'm afraid I went the other way and just showing it couldn't affect me at all. And I enjoyed it.
How did you take the army languages to
the I think I've been in about 3 weeks, I'm afraid, at the sergeant on the usual inspection. I don't know why he called me a bastard, actually, and I just banged, that was it. Fall in two men. Marched me down to the guardhouse, put me inside, and threatened me I'd be court-martialed.
What was the guardhouse like?
Well, it was a brick-built place with about, I think about, if I remember right, with about four cells. As near as I'm telling you, I can't really. But as I say, I mean, when he said to me court-martialed, it didn't mean a damn thing. I mean, I didn't know about things called marshals at 18. I didn't know what called marshal was.
Did you go immediately in front of an officer?
No. I went in, I think, well, not straight away. I think it'd be about. Might have been about 10 o'clock in the morning, that breath. I don't know whether I went in that day or the next day. No, I must have went in that day because they marched me in. And. Left, right. Well, I mean, my left, right, and them. That's three. I think we're very slung there, really. And in front of them, they sort of looked at me. They, I think he was only a lieutenant, I think. But anyway, didn't make any odds anyway. And he looked very severe. And then the sergeant came in and he made. I think he just read the charge out. No, Sergeant Major read the charge out. Of it, an NCO, and then he said, "I've got anything to say." I said, "Oh yeah," I said, "Sir, he called me a bastard." And he said, "Oh," he said, "Well, it sort of hummed and hard," and I saw I thought it was a little twitch on his lips, like, and I thought, "Oh, I'm all right here." I can't say I was frightened, right? I don't remember it actually. But of course, I didn't even feel hot about it, to be truthful. And he just said to me, "You do realise this is a serious offence?" Well, what could you say? Yes, sir. And then the sergeant made some statement. He said, "No," he says, He said he hadn't. And that's well, I said, somebody must have heard it. And of course, the guy who was there, they'd already got him outside anyway. And this Hodge, who was he come in, he said he didn't. And the sergeant saw it. I said, well, yes, I probably did. But, and then he said, well, it's either probably yes or you didn't. And the guy, the lieutenant was very good, actually. And he said, look, he says, I think we've got a case dismissed. And that was it. Now, it was very quickly done. It didn't take long, about 10 minutes, I should think. And then they called me back in. And he said, now, look here, Eagles. Stand easy. He says, you're going to get hurt. And I said, all I can remember saying was, so be it, sir. That's all I can remember saying. I said, well, nobody is ever going to call me a bastard. I said, where I come from, oh, that was what I'd said to him previously, was that my mother didn't bring up a bastard. My father died and left me with my mum when I was 6 years old. I said, no, it's not a bastard. I said, you're not hurting me. You are calling my mother. And I think that really clinched it. And I think, and that was it. And that was what I did say before. And then I realised, he said, well, you are, when I went back in again, he said, you're going to get hurt. And I always remember, so be it. And he said, I suppose you'll be down in the gymnasium now, then, will you? I said, yes, sir. And I hope the sergeant's there. and he said, well, we don't know about that. Case dismissed. And oh, that was it. And that was it. I mean, after that, I didn't have a lot of trouble with him.
Do you recall the lieutenant's name?
No. It was all new. It was newfangled. I thought everybody was fair minded, to be honest.
Did you have any trouble after that with the same name calling?
No. I think that was another thing that I think the old story is it obviously went round the camp. Well, obviously something like that probably would. Not that I give it much thought. But I must admit, I still got a lot of respect off for the regular lads, but I think the Lance Corporal would try to be a bit sharp once or twice. I found him on the training, you know, when the started showing us out to on the unarmed combat. You know, they'd sort of say 12 of us in a circle, or probably a bit more than that, and they'd just keep out shouting the number four, and I'd probably number eight, and they'd enjoy throwing me quite heavy, as heavy as they thought. I mean, as I say, that didn't bother me. And you had to charge him with your rifle with a bayonet on, with the scabbard on the end.
Was this part of your basic
training? Yeah. And
this had come quite early into basic training.
As I say, this was going towards the end of the training. And we didn't do much of that, but that one was the one day that they really did throw me quite a lot that day. And I always remember, I thought, well, I'll get out of this one. And I flipped the end of the scabbard so that when I jumped it over, it came off. And I mean, oh, it's terrible, really. Premeditated that was. And I mean, he nearly died. Man, I'm glad he moved. But he did move, but he didn't throw me.
Can we come back and see you told the story there, obviously, of the running with the sergeant. Other than that, were they reasonable towards you as recruits?
Oh, yeah. I think they made that. They were hard lads. And don't forget, we were soft lads coming in.
Were they old soldiers?
No. I'd have thought the corporal probably about 23-ish. Quite young, actually. And I'd say the sergeant might have been about 28, you know. But obviously, I think they're probably regulars, you know.
Have they seen any action that you know of?
That I wouldn't. I